It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We explore the rise of direct admissions programs in Wisconsin and how they could affect the makeup of college campuses. Now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum with a story about remembering our loved ones.
When someone is diagnosed with a terminal illness, how do we choose to preserve the memory of that person? Radio producer Alexandra Salmon and her mother-in-law, Chris Thomas of Madison, have always been close. When Chris was recently diagnosed with terminal cancer, Alexandra started recording some of their conversations. And on a perfect fall day, the two of them talked about Chris's lifelong connection to Wisconsin and what she hopes to leave behind.
I think I'm experiencing some of the sounds in my mind because they're sounds of little kids laughing and having fun. And that's, if I had had a woods like this near me, I would have been in it.
That's my mother-in-law, Chris Thomas. We're in the woods near her house in Madison, where she's thinking about putting her memorial bench. This little piece of wildness reminds her of another park she loved as a child.
It wasn't right at our near our house, but it was down at Westmoreland Park. And once I was old enough to have my freedom to go down there, it was really fun. I mean, we played in the woods like this. It was a little deeper and darker than this one, but kids just fantasize. They love having places like this to come to. And we hear kids down here giggling and, you know, playing, and it's really nice.
Chris is such a practical person, and she's always thought about putting other people first. The way she's approaching this memorial bench is no different.
Can you just talk a little bit about this bench idea?
Well, it's certainly a copycatted idea all over the place. I mean, lots of people have benches, and I never thought of myself as somebody that wanted to mark my spot or be so impressive that I had a bench. I don't know why I thought about it, except that I like the fact that there are places for people to sit who, you know, people who might not walk this trail otherwise. If they knew there was a bench every so often, they might walk it more. And I think that's a good goal, to have something out here that people can actually utilize. So it's my little contribution to getting people out walking, you know, especially people that wouldn't do it otherwise.
Oh, what's this? Walnut?
Maybe.
Yeah, it's hollow.
Maybe from where we're standing, we look at what we're seeing. If I stand at a diagonal, I see that big tree, and that is the only really big tree right in there. And you know what? If we find another spot, fine, you know. But I kind of like this spot. It feels good. Yeah, I think along this trail, and the other trail would get used. But it'd just be sitting out along a trail, and this is so pretty in here, so special. Yeah.
Well, and really, I do like those hidden benches, because it's like a surprise. You come upon it, and then you think about who was this person.
Yeah. One winter when I walked in the arboretum a lot, I found a chrysalis or something hanging from a thread. And I watched that thing all winter, and then one day it was gone.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was audio producer Alexandra Salmon talking with her mother-in-law, Chris Thomas of Madison, about her memorial bench. Big thanks to Meeker and Maiden for letting us use their version of the song, Hills of Wisconsin. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook and Instagram. I'm Maureen McCollum. The corn is
It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Universities of Wisconsin system is set to roll out a direct admissions program next year. We learn how this policy of proactively admitting high school seniors could affect the student body on system campuses. Be part of the discussion about college admissions. Call in with a question. Share comments, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Taylor Odell is an assistant professor of educational policy studies at UW-Madison. Taylor, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. Good morning.
Good morning. So starting next summer, most of the state's public universities plan to start sending these letters to high schoolers that proactively admit students rather than waiting for them to apply. Why are campuses trying this new approach to admissions?
Yeah, so that's right. And I think direct admissions kind of asks this fundamental question about why are we requiring students to apply to college, to many colleges in the first place? And that feels kind of radical, but the reality is that about a third of all students attend two-year or open access institutions like community colleges. And more than 50% of additional students attend a four-year college or university that admits more than 75% of people who apply. So the vast majority of people in the United States, if they're attending college, they're attending college at a minimally selective or open access institution. And so that means... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, so it sounds like let's remove a barrier that shouldn't be there anyway when we look at admissions numbers.
That's exactly right. So if we do apply to these colleges, they're looking at maybe our GPA, maybe our course grades, maybe our ACT or SAT score. But those pieces of data already live in our K-12 school system at our high schools. And so the idea is basically saying, if we only need these couple of pieces of information to make a decision, if we're actually making a decision at all, why don't we just get the data from where it already lives rather than asking students to jump all of these hoops of writing an essay, submitting a resume, getting a high schooler to send a transcript and things like that.
So finding the data where it lives, I wonder how will universities decide which students can skip the application process and directly enroll?
Yeah, so the way that it works in most states is that every student gets some post-secondary opportunity. So every student in the state who, for instance, would opt in to say, yes, I want to participate in this program, they would get some post-secondary option. For students who then are higher achieving, may have higher GPAs or a better kind of suite of course grades, you can kind of think of a tiered system where as they go up on those tiers of performance, they would then get into more institutions or even maybe more selective institutions. And so the University of Wisconsin plan to use students' high school GPAs to determine, you know, everybody's going to get into a specific set of institutions, and those with higher GPAs are going to get into maybe slightly more selective or more institutions here.
I wonder about the technology and automation behind policies like this. I mean, computer algorithms, they are under scrutiny across the country over their potential to reflect human stereotypes and bias. Do you see concerns with how campuses could design these programs and design algorithms for proactively admitting students?
Sure. I think we should be concerned anytime there's potentially a black box that's making kind of really important life decisions. But I would say two things to that. One, direct admissions policies, and especially the one that's designed in Wisconsin, are very transparent. There is no kind of predictive analytics here. There is no mining of you know, different types of student data. It's just, what's your GPA? Here's the threshold. And so students and families and counselors and principals can easily know, here's my student's GPA. This is obviously the institution that they're going to get into. And when they receive these communications, it should be spelled out for them as well. So you know exactly what the score was that was used and exactly where that fell kind of on the continuum into which of those places. I would also say, in regards to kind of AI, you know, algorithmic bias and things, I do think it's right that we should be, I think, cautious of employing these kind of in a very hot, widespread way. But what's also important is for us to not be fearful of innovating in this way, because we have such wide geographic inequality, socioeconomic inequality, racial inequality, and who even goes to college. And so if there is a way of automating it, of finding folks who may not have thought they were college material, then that benefit definitely outweighs the cost to me.
Along those lines, you've worked with, I understand, Common App, the nonprofit online portal that is targeting first-generation college students. What is Common App's approach to direct admissions offers?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So we've done some work with the Common App and also with many states across the US. But basically what the Common App is able to do is to say millions, 1.2, 1.3 million students come to the Common App every year, and they provide lots of important information to that platform, like their GPA, like their SAT or ACT score. And so what the Common App is then able to do is say, hey, Kate, there's an institution really close by that might be a good fit for you that's willing to directly admit you without you having to fill out, the full Common App or submit letters of rec or jump through all of these hoops that that institution has said are really unnecessary for you. So basically, they're able to mine their entire population of students for those who opt in to getting communications from them and things like that to kind of proactively push post-secondary opportunities to those folks.
Taylor Odell is an assistant professor of educational policy studies at UW-Madison, researching the rise of direct admissions in Wisconsin, around the country, automatically enrolling prospective college students. Be part of the conversation. Call in with a question. Share your views. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We examine the rise of direct admissions at colleges and universities as the Universities of Wisconsin system launches a program next summer in the race to attract eligible high school students amid enrollment declines at some campuses. Call in with a question. Share your thoughts on admissions. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Taylor Odell is an assistant professor of educational policy studies at UW-Madison. Taylor, taking stock here, 10 campuses among the UW system are participating in the direct admissions program. The exceptions, UW-Madison, UW-La Crosse, and UW-Eau Claire. Why might campuses opt out of participating in a program like this?
Sure. Well, I think first, this new approach to kind of reimagining the college admissions process can feel rather kind of explosive or radical to a lot of folks about saying, hey, we've always applied to college. Maybe we don't need to do that anymore. And so I think there's a potentially a feature of some institutional inertia or kind of like slowness to change that might help explain part of that. However, for UW-Madison specifically, in many states, the state flagship or the most selective institution often doesn't participate in this program. And that's because they're admitting, less than 50% or even sometimes less than 25% of the people who ultimately apply. And so they utilize what's called a more holistic review process, where they are reading everyone's resumes, they're looking at everyone's statements, letters of recommendation and things like that, in a way that kind of a simplified direct admission system doesn't lend itself very well to, of kind of just giving a number and kind of comparing that to a threshold. So I think it's a mix of institutional decision making and priorities, and also a mix of the type of student body that the campus is attracting and the features they use to evaluate them.
With some of these programs in other states have been going on for a number of cycles of the educational year, how does direct admission affect graduation and attendance rates?
Yeah. So I think unsurprisingly, right, if we think about college applications as a barrier for many students, not even having a post-secondary option until you run what prior research has called this gauntlet of applying, filling out letters, doing all this stuff, it's unsurprising when we remove that barrier that more people seem to go to college. And so Idaho was the very first state that adopted direct admissions, followed by South Dakota, Minnesota, Hawaii, so on and so forth. And we actually evaluated the program in Idaho in partnership with the state. And we found that in the year immediately after they adopted this program, they saw enrollment gains that were predominantly concentrated among their two-year and open access universities. So more people were enrolling in college. More people were enrolling in college from in-state as well.
Would other states see similar results? Could Wisconsin expect that, for instance?
Sure, I think they definitely should expect it. I think it would be unsurprising if that's what occurred. And you kind of referenced this like recent proliferation of these programs across the country. And I think so many states are hoping, right? I think at the end of the day, too, it's kind of just a common sense solution, right? Why have we made this process so hard when we already have the data we need? Let's give some students and families some time back in their day to focus on where they should go to college rather than just completing this administrative task to apply.
I wonder, though, if direct admission could cause some students to feel maybe less committed to their top choice in a college that directly admits them. I mean, they haven't made any application effort per se to that college. And I guess it just, I just wonder if matriculation at the end of the day could be somewhat problematic for some students committing.
Yeah, so it's a really great question. We've now done research in several states and worked directly with tens of thousands of students through the Common App platform through some experiments we ran there. And we don't hear this or see this coming up from quantitative data or from qualitative data either. And the reason is this: the kind of student that you describe, who may feel, less committed if they were directly admitted, they are already going to college. Their kind of future state is I'm going to enroll, and they're now making a decision about are they going to enroll here or are they going to enroll there. The students who are most likely to be impacted and positively supported by direct admissions are those who are maybe considering going to college at all. So they're making this no-go enrollment decision. And for those students, we don't see or have really a strong evidence to suggest that they are ultimately less committed to these institutions simply because they were directly admitted.
Do you find at all in your studies, is there a fear of rejection that could be a barrier as well?
Absolutely. There is a huge fear of rejection. We have over-sensationalized what some of my colleagues would call highly rejective colleges. If you go on YouTube and search college acceptance, letter day or something, you can just watch student after student for hours getting rejected from some of the nation's most selective institutions. And the reality is, only 6% of college students attend an institution with lower than a 25% acceptance rate. So we in our minds have changed and kind of developed an archetypical student as one who is attending a highly rejective or highly selective institution, and that's not the reality for most people. There was a recent survey of high school seniors that found that a majority of them reported that applying to college was among their most stressful academic experiences.
Wow.
So we have tons of administrative burden that we've placed on these students and families and counselors and principals, and coupled with that are students' beliefs that they're going to be rejected, or that they're not even college material to begin with. And so what direct admissions is trying to do is combat each of those in a different way.
Taylor Odell with us, Assistant Professor of Educational Policy Studies at UW-Madison, as we explore direct admissions programs and policies. Join in with your questions, 800-642-1234. Jeff in Appleton is here. Jeff, hi.
Good morning. Taylor kind of hit on a point that I wanted to bring up. When you're doing this direct admission and just sending out to kids, you're going to bring in kids that aren't exactly committed to college. And when you do that, the graduation rate's low enough already. And when you're bringing in more kids that aren't exactly committed to it, there's a thing called student loan debt that's a big problem in our country right now. So when you bring in kids, they're bound to have a lower graduation rate. And so you're now going to have a lot of kids that have student loan debt that don't have a degree because of this program. Now, if student enrollment's going down, I think you might want to look at maybe just the cost of school. Maybe that has gotten too high. And maybe the universities want to address that.
Jeff, thank you so much for that. And Taylor, go ahead.
Yeah, great points, Jeff. So what I would ultimately say is that direct admissions doesn't require anyone to enroll in college. It doesn't compel them to take out student loan debt. What it's ultimately just saying is it's trying to simplify the process for students having the option to even enroll in college. Right now, they face a really steep uphill battle to just simply getting admitted, where they then make a decision, oh, am I committed? Do I enroll? Do I borrow to enroll in college? And direct admissions just kind of goes ahead and puts them at the top of that cliff or hill or whatever, so that they can make a more informed decision. Once they're admitted to an institution, they would have better information on financial aid, their cost of attendance, et cetera, et cetera. And so you're exactly right. And I don't think any policymaker or me, even as a researcher, wants to push students to do things or compel them to do things they don't want to do. What we're just trying to do, I think, is simplify this process for a lot of people. But you're exactly right that the cost of college is still a barrier for many people. And we shouldn't treat direct admissions as a way of addressing all of those challenges. We still need to focus on the cost of college and on financial aid.
So it sounds as if, you know, we are seeking a fix here for the application, the getting into the college part, but the financial piece, the affordability piece, is still yet to be worked on. Taylor, thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, of course. Thanks so much for having me.
Taylor Odell is an assistant professor of educational policy studies at UW-Madison. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.